back live in Bethesda at Caddy's on Cordell. We are getting ready for championship football. Grant and Danny on the fan. Danny couldn't make it today, but fear not. Toby Altizer's alongside. We got a great show planned for you today. Jay Gruden's going to be on the game plan with us at 5 o'clock. And ladies and gentlemen, making his way to the stage, you know him from his work on the Sports Junkies, where they have gotten to talk about exactly zero NFC Championship games in 30 years on the air. Eric Bickle.
Stop. Hey. How are you, buddy? Thanks for having me, Toby.
This is quite
great to have you.
A last several weeks, huh?
Yeah.
It's wild. It started to get, you know, real once they started, you know, after that losing streak. And you're like, when is this going to end? And you know what? I'm not sure it's going to. At some point, you have to accept that this is a good team. And we were in denial. Like, we knew they were pretty good because Jaden just instantly made them
viable. Yeah, they were 7-2.
He instantly made them viable. But, you know, we would take calls and we'd be like, you know, don't get ahead of your skis. This is a couple-year process. You know, they're going to win 8 or 9 games. Maybe they'll sneak into the playoffs. But let's not get crazy. I think it's time to get crazy. I mean, it's officially time to get crazy. I mean, here we are. And it dawned on me about 4 or 5 weeks ago. It's like, you know, once they won like 11, 12 games, I'm like, okay, it's different. It's a 17-game season now. But usually when you win 11 or 12 games, you're like a real contender. So at some point you have to accept this is a real contender. This is a really good football team. I was listening to your previous segment as I was trying to find parking. God, I lost my train of thought already. What were you saying in the previous segment about
they're good at football?
Yeah. No.
Jason Kelce saying they're better?
Oh, that's annoying too. Yeah, the player by player, the position by position stuff. Who cares?
Right.
That means nothing. We might not have the best team player for player, but we might have the best team. Like team. You know, so we don't – it's like it's a weird dichotomy.
Well,
we don't have the best
too.
Team, but we might have the best team.
You know this too. And every person in here, Rock and Burgundy and Gold, that has been around for enough years now, experienced this in 2019. Like having the most talent does not mean you're
doesn't
the best
mean anything,
team.
Really.
Right? And so I think about this a lot in sports. And the 2018 Caps were the first time I felt this. 19 with the Nationals. That 19 Nats team – Toby, you know this. That was probably like the fifth best Nats team of this era something like that.
Definitely.
They're the one with the banner.
Yeah.
Right? And you've seen it all year. We had Joe Gibbs on the show a couple days ago, and he talked about this. Like, his teams were, it was chemistry, it was continuity.
His 83 team was better than 82. Everybody knows that.
Right.
Everybody knows that.
Brotherhood bit, whatever this is, like, that is real. It's not tangible. It's not data that I can crunch. So, you know, it has always meant less to me. But it is a real thing, and this team absolutely has it.
And I think, too, when you have those sorts of things, players can tell if it's BS, right? Players can tell if it's not real, especially guys like Bobby Wagner coming in, Zach Ertz. They bought in right away. Mm-hmm. And so you get the young guys buying in as well. That's how you get to this point, is because maybe they're not the most talented team, but to your point, they play together as a unit better than maybe anybody else in the playoffs.
Yeah, and they not only buy in to what DQ's selling, they buy into Bobby. They buy into Zach. Like, they're real leaders. It's just you can't give Adam Peters enough credit for what he did putting this team together. And I'll be honest with you. With all of the everyone just hyping up these guys that they're brought in, I was like a little skeptical. I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. I've heard it before, right? And he's like passed every test with flying colors. Maybe you can, but you can't even really give him a hard time about the kicking situation because nobody could envision that. That's kind of like the only thing that kind of like backfired on him. But they've still kind of settled themselves. People may not love Zane Gonzalez, but after 4 or 5 kickers, they've got a guy that pretty much makes his kicks. So he's just been brilliant. And I'll be honest with you, even when they brought in Josh, you know, obviously anything's better than Dan, but I still was like, oh, let's see. But man, you bring in a guy like Magic. You bring people – I think they don't – like, he wins at everything he does.
Yeah.
Everything he touches, he wins. And they just got the right guys in place, and it's really just been magical. And kind of getting back to my original point – I'm sorry if I'm talking too much. But it dawned on me a few weeks ago that this team is a good team that can do it, that 11 and 12 win teams that keep winning, certainly they can hoist the trophy. And you know what? Jaden Daniels is worthy of it. He's worthy of, if they pull this off, and he's holding that trophy, you're not going to go back at 20 years ago. Oh, remember when Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl?
Right.
Like, you're not going to do that.
So I keep calling this the magical carpet ride, and I do think that's to some extent what's happening. But that can be true, and to your point, they're actually just really good.
They're just good. They're like, better than we thought.
And think about what they will have done if they get to a Super Bowl. They will have beaten the top three seeds in the conference on their way. Now, was Tampa Bay the third best team in the NFC this year? No, Minnesota was better. I mean, it worked out that the top three seeds, you know, you didn't have to necessarily play the top three teams. But you will have gone to the three-seed Tampa, a very good team in one. You will have beaten the one seed, who was the juggernaut in the Lions, and won in their place with an extra week to prepare. And now you're at the number two seed. Just look at the records of Detroit. What did they lose? Two games all year?
Two games, yeah.
Yeah? And the Eagles, I think, lost three games all year?
Mm-hmm.
The two juggernauts, plus the Bucks. The Chiefs are in the AFC Championship game. The only thing they've had to do so far, to their credit, they earned it in the regular season, is beat a bad Texans team. Mm-hmm. And they get to play in a conference title. Mm-hmm. Washington's had to go on the road twice to the three seed and the one seed. This will be as arduous a path as anybody's walked.
Yeah. They're certainly worthy. And the early narrative was, oh, they're 7-2 or whatever, but they haven't beaten anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
early
that's completely
I mean, people were saying that before their first playoff game.
No, last week we had John Jansen on from Detroit. He said the same thing. He's like, well, you look, they beat Buccaneers, whatever. They beat, you know, the Eagles when Jalen hurt. He dismissed it, too, before the Detroit game.
But remember, in the regular season, the only win against an over 500 team they had was the Eagles at home.
Yeah.
And that was, they were down 21-7 when Jalen got hurt. So I think people looked at that and said, this team, like you said, their record is, that normally means you're really good, but I don't know. I think they've proven they played who they played.
Mm-hmm,
they can't play anybody that's not on their schedule, but when they play really good teams, they get up. And to some extent, when they played that bad teams, the Saints, the Cowboys, they played down some. But when they're playing the good teams, they keep getting up.
I think there's something, too. Down the final stretch of the season, they were just finding ways to win football games. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't beautiful all the time. You think back to the Atlanta game. You were at the New Orleans game. They won those games. They weren't sexy. Think about earlier in the season with going to Baltimore. Think about facing Pittsburgh. They were right there, but they didn't have the winning formula. They couldn't get it done at the end. And now what you saw when you get to the end of the season, maybe they're not the same high-caliber teams, but they found ways to win. You get to the playoffs, you just squeak by against Tampa. You play really well against Detroit. They screw up. You don't. You win that ball game. If they do that again in Philadelphia, you feel like you got
a shot
there,
it doesn't matter. You don't need style points, although that game last week had a ton of style to it. That's the one thing that concerns me a little bit, and I kind of heard you alluding to it, is it's hard to back up. What did they score, 45? Whatever the hell they scored.
45.
It's hard to back that up. You know what I mean? Like, with another 45 burger. Like, so that scares me a little bit. And, you know, all season I've been dismissing this defense. At some point, you just got to stop doing it. And, I mean, I've largely backed off. And one thing I think is sort of underappreciated is their adjustments. They make great adjustments because they oftentimes don't get off to great starts.
Yeah.
Certainly defensively. Like, how many times have you been watching a game this year and you go, oh, Lord. There goes whatever, Jahmyr Gibbs, or there goes somebody for, that's what I thought it was going to be. Or Jason was hyping up this friggin' running back all week, and here he goes. And yet, we don't really have a lot of dominance on defense by any stretch, but they do find a way to, whatever they're doing, I'm not sophisticated enough to know, but they make just enough adjustments, they make just enough stops. Lately, they've been getting the turnovers that it's just like, wow. You know, we always talked about Gibbs's adjustments. We got to start talking about this team's adjustments because I think they really make great adjustments.
Yeah, they have all year long. Eric Bickle's with us, Toby Altizer, Grant Paulson on Grant and Danny today on the Fan. We're at Caddies on Cordell in Bethesda. I think this is an interesting thing to bring up with both of you guys because you're two different generations of the fan base, right? I want to talk about something I was
asked. I still got it, Grant. I still got it, buddy.
I believe that you do, right?
No, I'm kidding.
I believe that you do, but you're old enough to remember the Super Bowls.
Hell yeah.
We are not. And Toby's younger than I am by about 10 years. So,
isn't that hard to believe?
It
is. Toby's you now.
I know, right? So, Washingtonian Magazine reached out to me, a bunch of people, and I was in this story today where they were asking about the name and kind of what this run has done for the name. It is my contention that with every win, it gets harder to ever change the name again.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is
100%.
Over, right?
I said that a year ago. If they start winning, no one's going to care about the name. And believe me, we all agree the name's awful, it's boring, it's terrible. No one likes it.
Right.
It's terrible. But if you win, nobody cares.
But exactly. Here is my point. I think there will always be fans, like me and like you, especially your generation, who have those Redskins memories that will hate this name. Like, we have a table of young kids here. Mm-hmm. They don't care that it's not named Redskins.
Yeah, they don't care.
They're wearing their Commanders gear. I'll ask them, do you guys like the name Commanders? Is it pretty good? Right? So they're rocking Commanders gear. Like, Toby, I'm curious. There's you don't – I'll ask it this way. Is this run any tamped down in terms of your excitement because the name isn't Redskins? Like, does it change?
No, the only thing I can the only thing I can say though is I do cringe and die inside a little, like a 0.001% every time I say the word Commanders. In fact, I mean I do.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, I've made it sort of my personal mission because you know I think intent is everything, and I don't know a single person on the planet, we don't need to relitigate it, that ever said the word Redskin in a negative manner, or right. Like literally no one ever in the history of my lifetime. But that's okay. We lose that battle, but I'm going to call them the Skins till the day I die.
Yeah.
And so if you listen carefully, you'll see 90% of the time I say Skins.
Yeah.
And that's just my connection, and then no one can say anything about that.
Right.
I'll just – that's my nickname for him, buddy.
Yeah.
And Commanders leaks out every once in a while, and I die a little, and then I say Skins right after.
Right. But your joy of this run doesn't get tamped down.
Other than when I say the word Commanders.
Right. And for you, I imagine you just don't care that much.
I'm numb to it. It's not that I love the name, but I'm used to it. You know, I don't have tons of Commanders gear, but I'm wearing a hoodie that's Commander.
No, you can wear it now. Look at this. I mean, this is unbelievable, yeah. And it's been like this for months now. Where, yeah, bring it, people
actually,
are bringing the gear
for the
back.
Sake of this exercise. So a lot of people here are in burgundy and gold. So I'm going to do a quick exercise. I'm going to ask you first if you're wearing Redskins gear to make noise, and then I'm going to ask if you're wearing Commanders gear to make noise. I just want to see what the difference is. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're actually wearing Redskins gear, make noise.
Yeah!
Okay. If you're wearing Commanders gear, let me hear you.
Yeah!
I mean. It's kind of comparable, right?
Yeah,
like it's
pretty
all
close.
At least most of the Commander stuff. God, I just died another 100th of a second. At least the W is like I don't hate it.
It's subtle.
At least it's not, you know, Commanders, you know, which is brutal. But the W is fine. It's fine. Washington's fine.
Hey, how about this? We can all agree on this. Washington's playing in the NFC Championship.
Yeah, they are, buddy.
Yeah. On Sunday. We're live at Caddy's on Cordell in Bethesda. You're listening to Grant and Danny. We got Jay Gruden today at 5, Trey Wingo at 3:30. This is The Fan.